City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 161, our World AIDS Day show. I'm Amy Matheny, and I am without my normal co-host, Peter Maverick, who is up to his eyeballs in crazy Christmas madness with Helena Handbag and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, as you just heard in our last show. But today, I'm sitting down here in my home. I've got a little bit of this, like, Christmas, Thanksgiving, cold thing going on with the lovely and talented Stephen Rader.
Hello.
How are you, Stephen?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful.
Stephen, as many of you know, is the executive director of Season of Concern, which is a direct HIV and AIDS direct fund organization here, not-for-profit, that has been providing services to people living with HIV and AIDS, direct care. And we're going to talk a little bit today about HIV and AIDS, where it is, why this is a season of giving, why December 1st, you know, where we kind of are now with the virus, and is it still the HIV and AIDS crisis, you know, is that myth or fact, and all of that. But first of all, I just want to catch up and say thanks for coming to my living room.
I'm loving it.
You're stroking my dog.
There's a joke in there somewhere.
There's a huge joke in there. Nilla's making her podcasting debut, which... we just have to have a webcam so Nilla can be in it. She's just so cute.
She's like, yes, I'm ready for my close-up.
She is. She's very sweet. She'll bark later, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Or
she'll make her appearance. How are you?
Sandy.
How was your holiday?
It was great. It was great. I spent it with my friend Eric, and it hit his mom's house, and it's sort of like the big old orphan holiday.
Yeah.
So, but it was really good. My mother was very upset that I wasn't home.
She
was very
having
very
a Dixie Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I know.
We're all home, so it's the same thing. What about you? What did you spend?
You know, we spent it here and just hanging out in
just
Chicago. No. We were actually with some friends who are in town from New York, and they had a little house that they are renting while they work on a project. And they decided they wanted to cook, and I said, well, by all means.
I'll shut up and eat.
Show up. I went to a little brunch and stopped by some friend's house where there were lots of kids, so I kind of got the kids and the making of turkeys out of construction paper.
Oh, my God. Putting your hand on the little plate,
drawing
the hand on the turkey. Yeah.
Pipe cleaners, construction paper, the whole nine yards. Really fun. While watching Ratatouille, you know.
Oh, I love that
Which I'd
movie.
Never been able to see, and the little five-year-old Max was like, this is the best part. He likes the girl chef. So I found it quite disturbing about cooking and rats.
With rats. I loved it. Just for the last 5 minutes when the critic gives a speech.
Yeah.
Anton Aigu. I just thought he was the best. I loved him so much.
Ratatouille.
It's actually on my wish list on Amazon.
Oh.
I've got so much on my wish list. It's not even funny.
Please find Stephen right
now. Although I'll tell you what's on my wish list, which you can't get on the Amazon, which I just found in Brush Veneer City already has one. Apparently Daryl Nitz already has one. On JCPenney's website, swear to God, $39.99. Smartdown for $49.99. The Carol Channing ventriloquist doll.
The Carol Channing.
I so want this ventriloquist doll. You have no idea. Wow. I can't wait.
You're going to get like 20
home.
Of them now. I hope. Like it's like I've asked for this Helen Mirren book, but I only told three people. My girlfriend and my two best friends. And I said, Talk amongst yourselves. Whoever doesn't have an idea, here's a good idea. It's simple. It's easy.
Helen Mirren.
I will be totally happy.
Well, all I want to do is I want to get like the Carol Channing thing, and I want them to make a Mary Martin ventriloquist doll, and then we'll just go on tour with Legends, and we'll do the play, the whole damn play, It'll be better than Joan Collins and that other
I could bring my Mrs. Beasley doll. That was the first gift my girlfriend ever gave me for Christmas.
Are you
she heard
serious?
My sad, sad story of what was the one thing you never got for Christmas that you wanted?
Oh, that's
and
good.
And I said, I wanted a Mrs. Beasley doll from Family Affair.
Oh, she's
and,
good. She
and I
eBay
never,
or something
she
like that?
Went some frickin' place and found me a Mrs. Beasley doll. Of course, we had the whole, like, Peyton Place crawl. Christmas morning.
My mother used to say that she said that was the first show I fell in love with. She said you wouldn't move.
Me too, Sissy.
Buffy, Jody, and Sissy.
This is why
French.
I, you know, I should have known I was a lesbian because when I would play House, I'm doing quotation marks for those of you who can't see.
House.
When I was playing House with my babysitters,
you were Mr. French.
I just know I needed them all to be Sissy because I was in love with her, and thus I'm still in love with older redheads
you
almost
see?
Always.
Oh
like
my
Kidmans
God!
The Kidmans of the world, Nicole Kidman, and
that show could
Julianne
never
Moore.
Go on right now. You couldn't have like this older, effeminate man. Sebastian Cabot would never be a star.
He was the voice of Winnie the Pooh of Christopher Robin.
See, Sebastian Cabot. People go homo, gone. You
see, people who say this podcast are all like 14. So and 14 to 20, they have no freaking idea what we're talking about.
Sebastian Cabot, they're
they were lost at Carol Channing.
Affair.
They were lost.
Signing off.
No, we're
look it up. Google it. Forgot. That's the thing about young gays today. I can get on my.
Go pack. Get on.
Curious. I didn't have the Google. Look, this is when you know you're old when you say the Google.
The Google.
I didn't have the Google when I was a kid, and yet I knew who's the best. Yeah, I knew all these people. I, you know, every once in a while, Don Town, who works at the Actors Fund, will say something. People go, "How do you know these things?" Because I learned.
Well,
them.
We had less. So we kind of knew more because we had less. We didn't have 500 channels on television. I mean, I'm an adult with Google, and I just found out who Hannah Montana was on Oprah this week.
And the only
I feel so educated now.
Only reason I know Hannah Montana, I have the Dolly Parton wish list, and she's on an episode of Hannah Montana. She's Aunt Dolly.
Well, look at that.
Aunt Dolly is this
wish list. So you have wish list.
I have wish list on it. Yeah, you can set it up on your TiVo. Of course, Dolly Parton, number one. And it just anything that she's on.
Oh, yeah. She comes up.
She comes up. Right. It's the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I was like, why did my TiVo pick this up? Oh, Dolly Parton's on it. I was like, there
you go. Yeah. Did you see Dolly on it?
Yes, I did.
How was she? I didn't see her.
She was good. She was good. They're all lip syncing a lot, but she was doing her new song. That woman is
what's her new song?
It's called Better Get to Livin'.
Is she got a new CD?
Yes, coming out.
Ooh.
Coming out. I'm not sure when.
Before Christmas?
Maybe, but I think it's in February, but I may be wrong. You know the Broadway version of 9 to 5?
Yeah.
It's going to be in L.A. in September. Yeah.
Are we getting auditions?
Are you kidding?
You and
imagine?
Me?
Imagine. I want to be the drunk woman. Remember the drunk woman? girl. That's what I want to be.
Yeah, girl.
I'm Margaret Foster, the old lush. Yes, that was me. I totally want to be the old lush. I'd have a whole song called Atta Girl. That's what I want.
Atta Girl.
Atta Girl.
Atta Girl. We need to hear that. You know, it's so funny. We're talking about Amazon because I have a dun-dun-dun moment. I got my Discover card, which I use as my major credit card. I love Discover card. You know, if you would like to sponsor our podcast, just in touch with us at podcast@windycitymediagroup.com. But I've been using my Discover card for years and years and years and years and years. Bless you, Nilla.
Oh, there you go.
And I get my statement, and I feel like I've been spending a lot lately, and sometimes I just am not aware of it until I get that statement.
Oh, God.
And so I because I've been traveling a bit and just doing some stuff to my home, and so I get my statement, and my eyes kind of bulge out of my head, and I'm like, well, maybe, but I can't imagine. Really, seriously, cannot imagine.
Oh, my
God. I was kind of freaking out.
It was definitely.
I was like, seriously, I have not. Well, come to find out, I'm like looking at it, and there are 14 charges via PayPal to some video or gaming place from the dates of like early November to, you know, like mid to late
PayPal.
November.
Via PayPal. Someone tracked you.
Now, normally Discover, if I like buy three things in one store because I'm hopping through Macy's and I do makeup and I buy it here and I buy something here and something.
Oh, they call.
They'll call and they'll stop and they won't. They're so good about it. Or they'll say, we see that there's some unusual activity. Like if you buy a big ticket item, like I bought my new television or something like that, they'll go, we're just making sure that you bought this. And I'll go, yes. So I called this woman up and I said, I think I am a victim of fraud because I didn't spend this. Somebody had racked up like $3,000 worth
of
charges on video games and videos.
You're kidding.
On my credit card. But I put everything on my credit cards, but I would have noticed $3,000, for God's sake. This is why my jaw dropped, you know?
Sweet Jesus.
So they're taking care of it. But I had just gone on Amazon. I don't buy that much online. I pay some bills online, but I don't buy that much online. And in the past month, I've bought some makeup. No, come here, Nilla.
Uh-oh.
This is what happens. See, she really wants to be on the phone. She's very upset about fraud.
It's my trick coming up.
It's very upset about fraud.
Fraud is the door.
Fraud, she's saying. I will challenge you to fraud. But
so many women love me.
So anyhow, so they're taking care of it, you know? It's like all taken care of.
See, if thieves would just realize, don't be greedy. Yeah. Don't be greedy. Do it one time and then wait a month. See,
they were getting away with it, though. The last charge, like some of them were like $20, $40, $500. And the last one they did was like $1,000. That woman was laughing. She was like, oh my God. I can't believe our people didn't figure this out. Yeah. $1,000 in video games. They were like, we've scored the gold mine. This bitch ain't ever figuring out we got her card. You know, it's been 12 days and we're still like, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Look, assassins, look, I got the new Halo game.
But it makes me nervous because when you were saying the wish list on TiVo, you know, I talk a lot on this podcast, as people know, about how much I am having a love affair with my TiVo.
Oh,
since I bought the new TiVo. It's been almost a year now. What's so exciting is that it has that brain and it suggests things that it thinks
ridiculous.
I might like, and I freak
out
when it knows.
And at first it's a little freaky.
It's still freaky.
Because at first it's like, you're like, I don't want to watch this. And then when you really get it going, you're like, holy
shit. I do
want to
watch this.
This is crazy.
Yeah. So I'm really thinking like, it knows my brain here. I'm buying things there.
You'll like
this,
Dave. Of
course somebody can steal
what
my
identity. What are you doing, Dave?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, it's very scary.
It's very freaky, isn't it?
And I have the oldest freaking TiVo in the world. I
gave mine to my brother, and it's still good.
Good.
It's still great.
Mine's like the 40-hour one. And my friend at the time said, I was like, should I get the 40 or the 80? And he was like, Steve, 40 hours of television. That's a work week. Really, you don't need more than that. Well, I do need more than that. I need 160 is what I need.
Is what you need now?
Oh, totally.
Because it changes your life.
Because
it's a revolution.
Because I save things. Because I'm like, come on, the pilot episode of Laverne and Shirley? Who doesn't want to save that on their TV?
Exactly. We have 18 episodes of Cagney and Lacey and 31 episodes of Bad Girls.
Oh, God.
We're really bad. We have the shows.
Hov, Christine. You're like, all of a sudden, you're
Christine. Hov, Junior.
Which one of you plays Christine and which one plays Mary Beth? That's what
Kelly's so in love with Sharon Gless. Oh, it's just like their moments of just when I come down and she's just pausing it. There's no sound. She's just looking at her.
She's like, okay, we need to stop this now before I get in trouble.
So speaking of your Carol Channing ventriloquist, I had such a great time going to see Forbidden Broadway.
Forbidden Broadway. That's for you.
I would imagine that's totally a show up your alley because you love to spoof and parody everything.
Let's just say that when I saw it with the lovely Steve Abrams about a month or so ago, we were kind of on a date. It was kind of fun. He's great, by the way. And I'm sitting there, and on the front row, I know half the cast, so obviously I'm like, great, here's this moron, you know, laughing with us.
Right.
But the guy beside me was this old man who didn't like my laugh.
Oh, no.
Because I have a loud laugh. So he began to, when he would clap, he would start hitting me in right
like
here inside.
Elbowing you in the side.
Which doesn't make me get unloud. It makes me get louder.
Good for
and
you.
Only because I was on a date did I not just turn around and go, bah, you know, and start going off on him. But he was kept hitting me and I kept getting louder. So the show just kept getting more raucous and I loved it.
Yeah.
It's a really
so
great
much
show.
Fun.
Oh my God.
I can't imagine they should do it sometime and let some of the guys play the women. I can totally see you like doing the Carol and
oh my God,
doing the Merman
the Merman stuff.
We'll have to do that next year with Flip Flop. You can just do a whole section of Forbidden Broadway.
Oh my God, I would adore it.
Holly Stouter's part.
Holly Stouter's great in the
show.
She's great. I mean, the whole cast is really, they're going to run forever.
I hope so.
People
should run and don't walk because it's a fun thing to do during the holidays.
Oh my God, and I love, my favorite part of it was something that no one else would get. It's because I was in Piazza, like the Piazza.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Gumban. And I was there the day that the director decided they needed to have leaves on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
And you could tell the prop people at the Goodman were like, you know what? And I kind of heard them say, let's just put a whole bunch of leaves and blow them out on stage. So it'll be too much. He'll cut it. We'll never have to do it. That was their thought. So there's like this excess of leaves. It goes blowing all over the stage. Goes in everyone's face. It's they cut, you know, stop or whatever. And the director goes, can we have some more leaves?
Oh, no.
Like, and all, they were like, oh, God, here we go. So that the leaves all stayed. It was, so in the Forbidden Broadway thing, when the leaves hit her in the face, lost my mind. I was like, you have no idea how right on the money that is. It's just
God.
Genius.
Yeah.
Just genius.
Do you have, like, a show that you're really looking forward to seeing, like a movie or is something coming up that is a holiday you know, it doesn't have to be a holiday show per se, it can mm-hmm. be, but are there show or shows, you don't have to pick one, with the movies that are coming out or with theater well, no, that you great. Are so excited about?
I think it's opening this week, I'm not sure. I'm not sure when it opens soon. It's the Goodman's Christmas Carol last year was top freaking notch. I mean, you know, we all know the story, we all get it. Their production was so incredible. The Marley was just scary. The Gross Christmas Future was scary. And everything just hit. And
this was Bill Brown's directing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Genius. Just yeah. There was a moment He's when fantastic. Tiny Tim walks across the stage in the Cratchit household. He walks across the little stage. And no one else moves. It's little Tiny Tim walking. And the whole house just stopped. No one talked, dead silence in the house as this kid walks across the stage. And I was talking to Steve Scott later, and he was like, you know, I really hated that moment. Why? I didn't think of it. That's why I hated that moment.
Oh, wow.
It's the most genius moment in the theater. They have a great production on
it. Wow, I have to go see it this year. I missed it last year, and I heard such great things.
Oh,
it's a great
lovely.
Thing to get you kind of in the spirit of Christmas. Is there a big movie? Because, you know, everybody, we were all just felt... I mean, or at least I did, but I think most queers did.
About Dreamgirls?
Well, we had the Dreamgirls year, and then was it the year prior or the year before that we had The Hours and Chicago on the same day? I did a double feature
what
that day.
What to do?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, this year we kind of have Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts.
But we have Sweeney Todd, which other people are excited about. Not so much me after I saw the trailer. After I saw the trailer, I was like, A, they're talking through it, there's no music. B, they decided to do Epiphany. I was like, what's up? People who don't know Sweeney Todd are like, what is he talking about? But I'm telling you, I'm a little nervous.
Are you nervous?
I'm a little nervous.
Because see, what I thought is that they're not trying. I think there will be a ton of singing in it. I think it will be sung through. I think the trailer's not
they're
showing the singing, so people
everyone
don't.
Says that, and yet me, the musical theater fag, is like, just say it's from Stephen Sondheim and call it a day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's making me a little nervous. I'll still go.
Do you think stylistically it looks good? I think Burton's a really interesting...
I do too. But, you know, I heard a rumor that Sacha Baron Cohen is playing Pirelli.
Uh-huh.
Pirelli. Yet, he's not singing. So, because he can't sing, they cut the song. So that's a whole thing about him and Sweeney, you know, shading.
Yeah.
And I've heard this... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm going to be proved wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm not so sure about it. But, you know, I'll be there. Like, I'm going to miss it. Like, I'm not going to go.
You're going to call me.
You know, although I will say this, that the when I went to see Chicago, this is honest to God the truth, when the Cell Block Tango happened, I swear to God I did this. It ends. It's so fabulous. And I'm in the opening night of the theater. I stood up, and full of straight people, I stood up in the movie theater and screamed, "Worth the price of admission."
Yeah.
And the people I was like, sit your ass down now. I was crazy for that movie. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was just the best.
Such a great freaking movie. Yeah, that was like the best Christmas ever.
Oh, my God.
The best Christmas ever was The Hours in Chicago Christmas.
Yeah, what do you want?
Nothing. I want to go to the movie theater. Can we get out of this house?
It's like you and every Jewish person in the world.
Yeah.
You all watch the movies.
Oh, yeah.
All of the other Christians are like, I can't do that. It's Christ's birthday.
Oh, I so can. Christ wants me to be happy. Christ wants me to see Julianne Moore, Meryl Streep, and Nicole Kidman all playing lesbians on Christmas. What could be better? You know? Catherine Zeta-Jones looking haracha hot. You know?
And she was pregnant in that movie, wasn't she?
And smoking and pregnant and bodacious. And
crazy. I love her. She deserves it.
I was telling somebody last night, you know, that Catherine Zeta-Jones has definitely become in my top five. I don't know why. She always kind of has been, but I forget about her. But then she just appears in my... She's so there.
You know who she should
And play? Then somebody said she couldn't be in your top five because she's so self-obsessed. And I'm like, I know, but part of me is just drawn
Once
to that, sir. Too.
Once
I'm sir. Drawn to that.
I think she should play Wonder Woman. I think that they make up... So they're in. They're trying to get the damn script, but she would be such a good Wonder Woman.
She would be a good Wonder
she's
Woman.
She's hot. You know what I mean? She's just hot.
She's smart. She can play kind of... Flaky.
Yes.
Playing flaky.
I just want to see her in some, like, you know, big boots and silver
bracelets. Did you see her in that Coen movie with George Clooney?
No.
Oh, God, the Coen brothers. What the hell was the name of that movie? I'll think
Another
of it.
One of those Coen movies.
Honestly, I loved it. I thought she and George Clooney had the most sexy, great chemistry. Billy Bob Thornton's in it. I thought
what
it was a funny little sleeper movie.
I love me some anything you George Clooney, and I'm all about it.
Yummy. on a stick. All about it. He's on your wish list too.
I'll have a Clooney to go, please.
A Clooney to go.
And a pit on
and
the side.
Pit. And a pit on the side. I'm not sure about the Damon, but he could be around at home when I get there. Listen, folks, we're going to have a really big show. We're going to talk about World AIDS Day. It's a big, big time for Season of Concern, the organization that Steven Rader's involved with. But it's a big time for us as a community as well to look back on HIV and AIDS, its relevance to our community, our responsibility, and also how to make a lot of people's lives much different this holiday season. So we're going to be back with that, tell you what's going on in the theater scene and news and much, much more after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 26, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the musical event of the season, Ella, playing at North Light Theater through January the 6th. Set your feet tapping with Ella, the swinging new musical about jazz legend Ella Fitzgerald, featuring memories from her extraordinary life and more than 20 of her greatest hits. For information or to purchase tickets to Ella, visit northlight.org.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys is playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
It's a new blue holiday tradition with the diva extraordinaire Amy Armstrong returning with Freddie Allen on piano in How the Diva Stole Christmas 2, Electric Boogaloo, to the Lakeshore Theater at the corner of Broadway and Belmont. How the Diva Stole Christmas 2 is for 7 performances only, December 7th through 23rd. Tickets are only $25. Call 773-472-3492 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
Four-time Tony Award-nominated actress Tova Feldshuh plays the legendary Katharine Hepburn in the Chicago premiere of Tea at 5, playing December 19th through the 23rd only at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts with a special gay night, December 20th, where you can meet Tova after the show. For tickets to Tea at 5, call 847-673-6300 or order online at northshorecenter.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Philip Barry's sparkling comedy of manners, The Philadelphia Story. Don't miss the staging of the beloved Katharine Hepburn classic, The Philadelphia Story, playing now through January 6th at Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets or info, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Are you depressed, repressed, undressed? Well, Court Theater has the cure. They will have you feeling better in no time with gay playwright Joe Orton's sexy and ferociously playful farce, What the Butler Saw. Sean Graney directs the provocative comedy, now playing through December 9th only, so get your tickets to What the Butler Saw. Just visit courttheater.org.
For more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk. Or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having coffee.
Tirelessly you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob. All in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest with a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dress to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker, because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News. Anti-gay U.S. Republican Senator Trent Lott of Mississippi will not be seeking re-election. Lott has consistently voiced his opposition of the GLBT rights and protections during his four terms in the Senate. Lott was also the key sponsor of the proposed anti-gay marriage amendments to the Constitution in 2004 and again in 2006. Well, you know, YouTube is just making headlines left and right. Thousands of people have submitted video questions for the upcoming CNN YouTube Republican debate, including Florida parents Lynn and Pat Mulder, who talk about their gay son Ryan, who was murdered because of his sexual orientation. The couple recently made headlines for their question about protecting GLBT citizens, as well as their activism since their son's death. Their 25-year-old son was killed in March, and police call his death a hate crime. Openly gay councilman Gary Cloutier recently won the Valley Joe, California mayoral race by a mere 4 votes, according to The Advocate. Cloutier ran against Osby Davis, who was arrested prior to the election for public intoxication. Cloutier will be the Bay Area's first openly gay mayor. V-Day, a global movement to end violence against women and girls created by playwright Eve Ensler, will celebrate its 10th anniversary in 2008. A large 2-day anniversary celebration, V to the 10th, will take place April 11th and 12th in 2008 at the New Orleans area and Louisiana Superdome. V to the 10th will feature Ellen DeGeneres, Jane Fonda, Rosario Dawson, Oprah Winfrey, and many more. In entertainment, former Baywatch star Alexandra Paul will play two lesbian roles in two 2008 indie flicks. According to a press release, Paul will play a gay mom in True Loved and a lesbian lawyer in A Date with Murder. Paul played Lieutenant Stephanie Holden on Baywatch and will star opposite another former Baywatch star, David Chakachi, in Date with a Murder. In an upcoming interview with GQ magazine, Hero star Hayden Panettiere says she doesn't mind the rumors floating around that she's interested in women. Quote, "You want to make me a lesbian? That's totally fine by me," Panettiere said. "We could do a love affair with Angelina Jolie." She went on to list off other women she thinks are beautiful, such as Charlize Theron, Kate Beckinsale, and Jessica Alba. Hayden, we know. And finally, Boy George's trial date has been set for February 25th. George is accused of falsely imprisoning a male escort. The escort claims George chained him to a wall in his London home. George is currently out on bail. And that is your Windy City Queercast News.
I love listening to the Windy City Queercast. It makes me release my eggs. It could happen.
It's a big gay contest and you could win. All you have to do is enter. Top prize, American airline tickets for two, good for travel in the U.S. 48, Bermuda, Bahamas, Mexico, Canada, or the Caribbean. Second prize, VIP theater package to Altar Boys with t-shirts and a meet and greet for you and three friends. And third place, a CD extravaganza of great recording artists. To enter, just email promotions@windycitymediagroup.com and list your top three gay entertainers of all time and include your name and phone number. In the subject of the email, put the word contest. That's it. Join our year-end big gay contest. You might be a winner.
Drawing to be held January 1st, 2008 by random drawing. Winners will be notified.
So December 1st marks World AIDS Day worldwide. And because it is a world pandemic and so much attention continues to from the television and the red campaign, obviously going to extreme significant areas of crisis in Africa. For those of us living in Chicago, it's fantastic to have Stephen Rayner, the executive director of Season of Concern, here on the show with us today, spending some time with me, which is a pleasure when Peter is off in theater world, which is a place you and I tend to land quite a bit. But it's really a time of reflection for me, knowing so many people who are living with HIV/AIDS, who I've lost from HIV/AIDS. And, you know, really, I mean, we were just talking about this, my partner and I and some people, because we went to go see What the Butler Saw at Court Theater, which we had Sean Graney on a number of shows ago. And You know, the first person that I lost to AIDS was a man that was in a production of What the Butler Saw with me in college. You know, and it's just interesting to think about the first people that you knew that you lost. And that was back in, you know, very, very early 90s, barely into the 90s. And then I have fantastic people who've been living with the disease, like my dear friend Alexander Billings, who defies all description of living with
that long with that virus prior to protease inhibitors.
Exactly. Amazing. You know, just a miracle and a gift. But first of all, let's just talk about World AIDS Day. I mean, obviously, this is a commemorative day. How long technically? Because we just hit a benchmark year with the AIDS crisis, correct? Last year?
Last year, but June 9th. I'm thinking June 9th. It was 2006. Was the 25th anniversary of sort of the virus.
Yeah,
and. It was odd. I think it was that night. It was that night that I was speaking at the Jeff Awards, the non-equity Jeff Awards, and made some kind of a joke about, you know, if you're anyone who's 25 years old or younger to raise their hands, and just the sea of hands that popped up.
Yeah.
To say, you know, these are people that have always known a world with HIV and AIDS. They've never known anything different.
Yeah.
And it's,
in a weird way, don't you feel that? Like, you and I are the same age, I think. And, you know, I don't know that I really remember a time without it as well, even though it didn't really, with my sexuality and my consciousness, I think it took a few years to kind of fully integrate my sexual life included HIV and AIDS.
But isn't it funny that this is a virus that, and again, I was only so young and wasn't really an out person
right
when it hit, but I vividly remember being 16 years old. That would have been 86, do the math. And I took a class of my own volition, decided to take a class back in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I'm from, an HIV AIDS, which they called it the buddy class. It was AIDS 101. To learn as much as you could about the virus. And I remember sitting in there.
That would have been really advanced. I mean,
in 86.
86, that's pretty progressive.
Especially for
in Tennessee.
And I vividly remember some girl from the campus, University of Tennessee, was beside me. And then there was a lesbian, a rather very large lesbian woman beside me as well. And remember the girl from Tennessee said something about, well, don't you believe that this is sort of God's punishment?
Yeah.
And I remember the lesbian saying, can I field that question?
Wow,
and,
really?
And the lesbian said, so, you know, lots of gay men are getting this disease, and I can see where your logic goes with that, but that might be God's wrath. But she goes, you know, the one group of people that are getting this less than anybody are lesbians. So she said, so does that make lesbians God's chosen?
Right.
And that ended the conversation completely.
Yeah.
And it's odd that lesbians have sort of come to the forefront of this battle.
Yeah, and back then, right there with I remember us. That. You know, my first girlfriend, her brother died within the first year of us being together and in Memphis. And, you know, I distinctly remember how many lesbians were in Memphis, Tennessee, unveiling early AIDS quilts and you know, displaying panels and sewing AIDS panels and quilts. And just aggressive in any AIDS fundraiser, you know, always present, always in the rooms, kind of.
Have you seen the quilt lately?
The last time I think I saw, I may have seen a section of the quilt here at the pier a few years ago.
Yeah.
The last time I saw the quilt, like almost in entirety, was in D.C.
In D.C. I went. They had something at Sidon Hall did a few months ago, and lovely Lori Cannon said, "Can you come down and read names?" And I said, yes, and so I went down. And I hadn't seen the quilt in a few years. And what was so striking to me about it was that I'm looking at all these names, and of course it hits you. You'd think I'm prepared for it this time, but you can't. You can't be prepared for it.
Can't.
No matter if there's just one section, if there's 100. And I'm looking at all the dates, and they're all ending about 95, 96, 96, 97, 96. But most of them end around 96, which is exactly when protease inhibitors hit.
Yeah.
And so you see the demarcation of the disease, and you see how it changed. And then you also see what it did to our community, in that it's I know people who are like, oh, it's just like having diabetes. It's just no big deal, Stephen. And yet then I have my friends who are just battling this disease to this day, even with their protease inhibitors, because it's so hard on their bodies.
Yeah.
It's very interesting how our community is dealing with it. And it's interesting to see how the people that we fund, I actually said this at one of our little meetings, that I think of it as sort of like improv. And the best improv actors take the situation, accept, and go on. And I think a lot of our best, most of our organizations here, our aid service organizations in town, have accepted and gone on. They, as the disease has changed, and the people who are being affected by the disease has changed, so have they changed. AIDS Legal Counsel of Chicago is just brilliant.
Yeah.
And what they did, TPAN, brilliant. Like, we have so many wonderful, wonderful agencies.
That's the Test Positive Word Network.
Test Positive Word Network. Really, really brilliant work. You know, they really take what's... Well, what is the wonderful Children's Place?
Uh-huh.
And it went from having a... Being an organization that was taking care of young, young children who were infected by HIV and AIDS, so that now a lot... You know, these mothers are not passing the virus on, so now they're dealing with children who are affected by it, who may have a family
continuing
member.
Care or a family...
It's really fascinating how they... And they change their services. They go and they look at what is really needed and they make changes to everything.
Well, because the virus changes. I mean, this is what we know today that we maybe did not know in 86.
Yeah.
When you're taking this class, is the mutation of the virus, the different strains of the virus, you know, how many different HIV and AIDS drugs are out there. Talk a little bit about what happened in 95 with the protease inhibitors. In your understanding, for people who may not have an understanding of the difference of that was.
Oh, I think it's remotely different. I'll say this before I say that. I have many friends who are in their 20s, and they don't quite understand it. We may be young enough to be, you know, in our 30s to where we're at that place where we're a part of it for all of our lives, but it really is a part of HIV AIDS before we were sexual creatures, really.
Right.
But we still are afraid of it. And I think at our age, I vividly remember seeing people who were healthy, seeing them look like Auschwitz victims, and hearing about their death within 6 months. Boom,
yeah.
Gone.
Yep.
And had friends of mine in college who didn't graduate because they died. And these people who are in their 20s don't have any knowledge of that. I went to see a production of Falsettos that Steve Scott directed. And afterwards, I said, you know, well, that's a good show. He said, no, not really. And he said, it's missing something. Okay, he said, none of them know anyone who's ever died. So they don't have that sense of how important this is. And I think in 90s...
Well, kind of the rage and kind of the depth.
Yes.
I mean, just the anger that we have.
Of it happening so fast.
Yeah.
But in 96, a lot of people, you know, you watched as the death rate was going down and down and down and down because of these drugs. And at the time, I read something just last week. At the time, these protease inhibitors were... You know, they're expecting failure in a 1-year to 2-year time period. And even now with what we have, you know, if this drug regimen fails for you, or if it's not working, then you move on to the next one, but if you run out of options, and that's still a problem. But I was just reading something in my Instinct magazine about how this doctor was writing and saying how he believes that we've passed even that point. And that to me is a little, not frightening, I don't want to say frightening, but I'm hesitant to believe it. Because I don't want there to be a sense of, I don't know, there's already too much of a sense with people that it's no big deal.
Right.
To the point that when a friend of mine died about 2 years ago, I remember talking to someone in their 40s, and they said, oh, people still die of that?
Huh.
And
wow.
Actually said that, as if it's not a big issue.
Well, or then there's the justification of, he didn't die of that. They died of this.
Well, yes, but if he didn't have that.
Right,
you know.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Talk a little bit about Season of Concern, the organization you're involved with. How is it formed and what is its mission?
About 21 years ago, actually, a lot of different theater people. I was so young then. I wasn't.
Yes, we were not a part of theater or people.
I wasn't born wrong. A number of people came together. Because so many people were passing away so quickly and decided that they wanted to become some kind of a fundraising organization to give funds to different HIV/AIDS service organizations in town. And they created what they called a Season of Concern. And I believe that's sort of a thought that they could raise $250,000, $350,000 and sort of tackle it.
Yeah.
Which has now become a long-standing organization.
And it's an ongoing organization that provides just direct care.
Exactly. We coupled with, at the same time, Marcy McVeigh and Jim Rennert. Marcy McVeigh is over at the Fifty Gardens Theater, and Jim Rennert was partners with a gentleman. But they started a separate fund called the Moscato Miller Fund, which is a fund that Season of Concern now runs, that basically is a direct care fund for individuals in our theater community, entertainment community. So that, and at the time it was a fund that was created so that, hey, this person wants to go to Paris before they die. This person has a horrible home life. Their parents really don't like that they're gay, but they need to live on their own. They don't have the funds to do that. We'll do that. So it was. It has a cap of about $500 a month, but it can be used indefinitely. And now that fund, since it's under our control, has changed because of the Face of AIDS exchange, in that, say this person is, their disability hasn't kicked in yet, or they have this one hospital bill that's too large and they can't handle it, or so we take care of a lot of different, you know, rent things or different medicine things, legal things that they have that they can't really take care of because they're trying to fight the virus, and so we're taking care of that for them. And then we also fund, through Season of Concern, we fund 16 different HIV/AIDS service organizations in town. And actually, as of last year, we funded two extras. We had their first grant to Test Positive Aware Network and our first grant to AIDS Pastoral Care Network. So it's we do a lot of fundraising all throughout the year, but around the time of World AIDS Day, that's when pretty much every theater in town gets together and they do collections afterwards for us.
And that's where most of the donations come from, actors who stop after a show, they make a speech, they wait outside when people are leaving the theater and give people red ribbons and people drop money in the buckets to the actors. Well,
A lot of times it's the actors making donations in and of themselves. I have a number of actors in town who will write me a check for $50 to $100 or more for the opening night of their show. And so it's I'm doing this in lieu of opening night gifts to my cast.
Right.
I have a number of people do that. Some people do special benefit performances, some people do special benefit cabarets for us, but the bulk of our money really comes from these post-show, after-the-curtain kind of things that the audience is giving to. So I like to think of what we do as being both actor and audience. It's
right.
The people who are coming to view the theater, people who are theater lovers, are also huge supporters of us.
Right.
And are really giving to us so that we can help our own people who will in turn, you know, perform and entertain them. So it's a nice reciprocal way of looking at what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think is the future of keeping AIDS at the forefront of people's minds? Do you think looking at it as a more of a global crisis these days of like, as much as you don't want the new generation to think it's not a problem anymore for
it's
us,
hard,
there is a type of acceptance of that we have a bit of a handle on this virus here in the United States. Most people. And we should be, you know, we can't be unclear that obviously it has risen in numbers in African-American women. There are definitely people who do not have a handle on this virus. But that is it good to look at it as a global pandemic that we need the Oprahs, we need the Bonos, we need the covers of Vanity Fair and entire issues? Or is that so far away that it doesn't make it, you know, are we without the rage and without the desperation and without the kind of deep passion that is maybe needed to take the next step?
I think so. I think it's very hard. As much as it is an issue for me, it's something that I'm very passionate about. I also understand that it's not something that everyone is passionate about, and what I care about cannot be what everybody cares about. I'd love to make people care about what I care about.
As you were talking earlier, everybody can't want the Carol Channing doll.
Yes.
You might not get one.
Exactly. I can't have that. As much as that is the truth, I think it's hard to look at this sort of this huge pandemic and not see what we can do that can help people understand that this still is an issue, and that as much as we have a handle on it, it's hard for those people to wrap their minds around that when there's not the gentleman who you knew 6 months ago who now is wasting away. It was very easy, but not easy for us. It's easy to be enraged by it when you see what it's taking away from you. And these days we don't have that. And because we have all these, pardon me, all these ads, say, for different HIV/AIDS medicines that show guys and looking great, and they're on a boat, and they're having a great time, it's hard for that message, which we need for people who have HIV and AIDS, to not seep into people who don't have HIV and AIDS. It's no big deal. So it's, I mean, I have sort of a cross issue with
that. Yeah, it is. That's a really big catch-22. I mean, obviously, you want the person who's just been diagnosed to know there is a solution. You know, there is not a cure, but there is a solution to living a full, healthy life. So we do see the handsome, for our community, probably gay man of color or not, looking healthy, looking partnered, looking physically active. You know, we need those images. But for us, it takes away all of the diarrhea that you're still maybe going to have until you find your drug that works for you, your cocktail, you know, all of the pain and the specific times you need to eat and all the side effects that come with the protease inhibitors and just living with the virus.
Very much so. It's hard. I think it's hard for everyone to sort of wrap their minds around it, but it's something that I see every day. I just had a friend of mine 2 weeks ago tell me that he's seroconverted. People are still getting this virus, and they're getting it younger and younger and younger. And what's frightening to me about just the virus is that, remember, was it 2 or 3 years ago, there was that report out of New York that said there was a super virus.
Yep.
Super HIV, which, you know, like Brandon Routh is going to come flying in at any minute.
Right.
You know, but it frightened the hell out of me, because if that ever were the case, and I'm not a scientist, I don't understand it, but when I wrap my mind around the ifs of it, if that were the case, it would make the first wave of that Holocaust look like nothing. Because we've killed the death rate, but I've never been able to understand why, if less people are dying from this disease, yet the infection rate remains at 42,000 people in the U.S. alone every year, why are we not doing more prevention work? Why are we not telling you more about this virus? Why is all that funding being cut so that we are just keeping the infection rate so high? What if something happens? You know, it's
a super strain of the virus.
Oh, my God, it frightens the hell out of me.
Yeah.
So it's not as easy as it is. It's just that because we don't have as many people dying, it's not something that's on the tip of... And I think every HIV service organization is fighting it. Because there is that AIDS fatigue, and we've heard the word AIDS fatigue since the 90s. We're just so tired of doing those benefits. Ugh, that's so last year. Well, it's not last year for the person that's benefiting from those benefits.
Right,
you know, those people really need that. And it's an odd time, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe.
So how do people access finding, because we have listeners in the Chicago area, obviously, and we have listeners who are not in the Chicago area, but... You know, with the World Wide Web today, obviously people can get information.
The Google.
But how do people find out if they are eligible or could apply for assistance and help? I mean,
obviously,
well, let's say through Season of Concern, but let's say, you know, are there other search engines and other places that people who don't live in the Chicago area that you might be familiar with? So let's talk about Season of Concern first.
Well, so with Season of Concern, it would be just calling me or calling the Actors Fund. Here in town, but you know,
and that's seasonofconcern.org would be how to get to you.
Yes, exactly. And just we have a number of things to help people in the industry, and plus we can sort of put you in touch with other agencies in town.
Yeah.
The one thing I always look for when people call me, I get a lot of calls saying, "Oh, I need to get tested, I need to have blood work done, I need da 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 da," and I always just send them to Test Positive Aware Network. I always give them that number because their guides, their services are so comprehensive, and I've never had anyone not taken care of by the organization.
Wow, so that's TPAN.org, TPAN.org.
Very, very good organization, the strongest, and everyone there does wonderful work. So, I mean, that's who I would sort of go to on accounts. It's odd because when we were coming up, I was told specifically, do not get an HIV test with your name on it. Always be anonymous. Do not. And now it's just one of those things. It's going to the names are obviously given in, but it's still in the back of my mind. Like, I can't get this with my name on it. I can't. It's very strange to me to walk in for an HIV test and think my name is going to be on it. Scares the hell out of me because I'm a child. What is Angel Avenatti from School Street Movement said one time? Once an 80s fag, always an 80s fag.
Yeah.
You're never going to not be that.
Yeah,
it just frightens me a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it is a big time, and if you you know, if this is a time where you're thinking, what do I give somebody as a holiday gift? What do me and my partner do? What do I do? You know, always donating to an organization that is near and dear to your heart is an important one. Season of Concern, a fantastic organization who makes donations to other organizations. So, you know, those that money gets filtered into yes. all different kinds of services, whether they be housing or legal care or,
everything,
food, medicine, all of that. And also just go see some theater and be gracious to the people who are giving these speeches. You know, drop $5 in a bucket nowadays. You know, now one's a five. So, you know, drop five.
One's a five.
Five is the new one, folks. This is what I learned in Toronto. Because in Toronto, when you get your money changed, you know, they don't have singles. They have those coins. And so you can't tip the drag queens or the strippers with a coin.
Oh,
you know?
Shut up.
So I was like looking and going, wow, five's the new one because you have to give a five. They don't have a smaller bill than
40's
that.
40's the new 30. 30's the new 20.
Exactly.
I'm the new hot.
You're the new hot. I'm the new hot. How are you the new hot? I'm the new hot.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. We're the hot. Exactly.
Definitely check out seasonofconcern.org. There will be benefit performance nights where much of the money will be donated to Season of Concern and many other opportunities for you to give in this holiday season. Remember, and really that's what the spirit of this season is about, really Thanksgiving, being thankful for what we all have and for others, you know, less fortunate, more struggling, and also all the way through, you know, the Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and whatever
you're celebrating.
Solstice, whatever you celebrate.
If you're just sitting at home reading the Christopher Hitchens book.
That's all
we want to do.
Please think about, you know, keeping HIV and AIDS at the forefront of your mind as members of our community. I think it is only responsible for us to do and to keep that torch lit. Stephen Rader, thanks for being
on with me today. I love this. This is
and
fabulous.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. I can't wait to see it when your tree's up.
Woo-hoo. Ooh, when the tree's up, it's going to be fabulous. Lots of red on it. In honor of the ribbon.
Oh, you're good.
All right, have a good time, and we'll be back with our next show, so keep listening.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.